What do you expect to happen in your life when you bow your head and you pray and you talk to the Father? Do you expect God to do anything in your life? When you pray, do you pray believing something extraordinary is going to happen? When you pray, are you in such a position, first and foremost, that you know everything is taken care of and you're just simply watching and waiting when God comes through? Well, if you'll take your Bible and turn with me to the Old Testament, there is a simple record of one man and one prayer, and the Bible records this one simple prayer, and the Bible says God heard and answered his request. It's called the Prayer of Jabez. We're in the fifth message on this particular series because it's significant that you understand this prayer. It is so sad that most of us, when we pray, we don't really expect much, and so we don't get very much, and very little happens. But whenever there is a believing heart, whenever there is a person that believes God, God will literally move heaven and earth to bring about his will. The Bible says in the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 4, if you'll turn there, is a simple story of a life of a man named Jabez. It's so interesting that there is only one thing shared about Jabez in Scripture. Only one thing, and it's this prayer. It's as though Jabez comes onto the scenes of Scripture, prays this prayer, you and I find out that God hears and answers his prayer, and he's gone from the pages of Scripture. In other words, he's not mentioned anywhere else. But in this one prayer are so many significant truths that you and I need to understand and comprehend. So if you'll turn back there to 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. And the Bible says these words, "And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested." One simple prayer, prayed by one simple man, and here is the epitaph or the epilogue of the story. The Bible says God granted him that which he requested. If you'll turn over to the Gospel of Matthew for a moment, Matthew chapter 7, because we're going to be looking at one phrase in this passage of Scripture in this fifth part, and it simply says, "that thine hand might be with me." In Matthew chapter 7, if you'll turn to verse 7 for a moment, Matthew 7, 7, listen to what Jesus is saying. Says this to you in your life, to me in my life, to anybody that will pray, faith believing. Listen to the words of Jesus. "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him?" Can't you just imagine for a moment, you're standing and you're listening to Jabez pray this simple prayer. It's not a very complicated prayer. It's a very short prayer. Jabez looked around at his environment, he looked at his world, and he realized that I'm not just created for little insignificant. Surely my life has meaning and purpose, and the God who created me has some awesome things in store for my life. And Jabez just begins to pray this simple prayer. We don't have very much said about what happened before. We don't have very much said about what happened after. But you know that Jabez, being a human being, looked around him and saw people living dead, desolate, dormant lives. And he could look at the world that God created and think, surely this God who created everything that I see, everything that I know, surely there is more to life than just the humdrum. And Jabez began to pray a simple prayer to Almighty God. You have to remember, in that day and time, many people were not oriented to Jehovah God. They were not oriented to praying to God because they were pagan, they were heathen, they walked away from God, and they did what their own heart's desires wanted to do. And so here's a simple man who prays a simple prayer, and he says, Lord God, I pray, I ask you that you would bless me. Now, you remember I shared just a couple weeks ago that the very word bless, we have so misunderstood it, and it's got watered down because we say it about so many things. We say bless this person or that person, and there's nothing wrong with that, but you need to understand the very impact of the word bless. Jabez literally prayed, Lord God, that you would supernaturally favor my life. Now, Jabez was not praying for selfish motives. And let me say this at the very outset. If you say, well, I like that prayer, I'm going to pray it, and I'm going to get God to give me some stuff in life because I want more stuff and I want to have more stuff. And since God owns the whole world and he can give it to me, and I'm just going to bottle it up and use it for myself, well, there's one real problem to that. God will never feed your selfishness. He will never feed your selfish self-centeredness, and we all are self-centered in some ways, and he continually is working in on our lives. But Jabez knew that he was oriented and created for more than what he was living. And so he began to pray a simple prayer. But here is something that begins to happen. Now let me ask you this. When you pray a simple prayer, faith believing, what does the Bible say God will do? He says, ask and you shall what? Receive. Can't you begin to imagine? Here is Jabez. He gets on his knees before God. Or maybe he gets on his face and he just simply cries out, Lord God, that you would bless me, that I could bless thee. And as he lives his daily life, all of a sudden things begin to happen. You remember in that day and time, that was the time when the land had been divided up and to the different tribes, and each tribe had their potential property. And Jabez wanted to bring honor and glory to God by his life. And he just prayed this simple prayer, Lord, you bless me. You enlarge my coast. Now, let me ask you a question. What will you do if you pray this prayer faith believing and God starts enlarging your coast? Let me just give you for instance. You're trying to be obedient in the job that you're working at, and all of a sudden you pray this prayer and you mean business with God. You're honoring God with your life. You're honoring God with your finances, and he starts blessing your business. You need more employers. You need more people to help you in your job. Bruce Wilkinson, in his prayer, in his book, The Prayer of Jabez, he said, I began praying this prayer, and he said, all of a sudden, doors for ministry began to open up. He said, I began to having calls for ministry opportunities, and he said, I got to realizing and thinking, Lord God, I'm not the man for the job. I mean, door after door after door after door started opening in his life. So here is a phrase that Jabez prays, and in the midst of the prayer, he says, Lord God, that thine hand might be with me. That thine hand might be with me. Now, I want you to follow along very carefully because you need to listen very seriously. First and foremost, if you're not interested in the blessings of God, then you're not going to pray this prayer. Second of all, some of you don't believe God will do it for you, and you're really struggling about that. Well, listen very carefully. Ever since the beginning of time, the best I can read of Scripture, God has created only human beings. Amen? You know, in other words, you and me to have a relationship, I've never found where he's created a superhuman being. Every one of us are created the same way. We come into the world the same way, and we have opportunities. It's not based on your intellect. It's not based on everything. Now, your family dynamics have some things to do with it, but if you want to be oriented to the God who created you, if you'll mean business with God, I guarantee you he'll mean business with you. And Jabez began to pray this prayer. And all of a sudden, something began to happen. And all of a sudden, he began to watch. And as you listen to the prayer of Jabez and how this one simple servant prayed a simple request, the Bible begins to unfold that God began to open the doors. But because the Bible says in the last part, and God granted that which he requested. Now, let me ask you a question. Would you have fear based on the way you're praying in life? Are you praying in such magnitude that if God comes through, you'd be scared to death? You know, the reality of it is most of us are not. You know, it's Father bless me, my family, us four, and no more. You know, that's really pretty much the way we pray, isn't it? But imagine you praying, Father bless me, so that I can make an impact in this one God-given life. Because listen to me very carefully. I want you to look at my finger. Look at my finger. You get how many opportunities to live this earthly life? One. Do you want to live this one earthly life just barely making it through? Just barely going through, and you come to the end of your life, you've made no impact, you've made little impact on anybody's life, and you've walked through this life, and you've not really affected a lot of people. That is not what Jabez prayed. Jabez wanted to make a difference. He wanted to make a difference in the world that he lived in, and so he began to pray. He said, Lord, bless me, enlarge my coast. And then he says, Lord, keep your hand upon me. It's quite interesting that Jabez doesn't pray at the very first, Lord, keep your hand upon me. But it's really on down in the prayer, because here's something he begins to watch. As Jabez looks, all of a sudden, God begins to open doors. Now, when God begins to open doors based on your praying and based on your asking, what do you do? Do you quit praying? When a church says, Father, bless us, enlarge our coast, and keep your hand upon us, and that church gets so full, they've got to do something. Do they stop praying? Or do they watch the Father at work? You see, here's a reality in the life of Jabez, and it's this. He had to come to a sobering reality in his life. When you pray and sovereign God answers, you will oftentimes be scared to death at his open doors and opportunities. Let me give you an example out of my own life. It was probably around the year 1990 when I prayed this prayer. I had no idea what it would mean, but I got on in my living room and beside the recliner, and I never will forget kneeling down, and I said, Lord God, I just pray that you would give me an opportunity to be a blessing to the nations. Now you say, Pastor, I can't even tell you why I prayed that way, but that just came out of my mouth and came out of my heart. I've never forgotten that prayer, where I was, what I was doing, and praying those simple prayer. But I also will never forget, and I thought, what in the world does that prayer mean? And I just kept on walking through life, and you know, you walk through life and you obey God and you watch for doors and opportunities. And I never will forget when a friend of mine asked me, said, Brother Benny, would you like to take a trip to Russia? Would you like to teach the pastors in Russia? Now, you have to know me real well to know my fear level. Now, you say, well, you see, put me in my safe environment like you, I'm okay. But here I am, I don't even know these fellas. And you've got mindset issues, and you've been asked to teach and teach pastors. And I thought, okay. And first of all, to travel overseas and then to sit down. But, you know, whenever God opens doors, and I'll never forget, you know, getting to meet those men. Never forget the first time I landed in Moscow and what I felt like and what that environment was. Now, listen carefully. I had no way and no idea of knowing what God was going to do. But did he do it? Absolutely. Now, listen carefully. If you ask for nothing, you will receive what? Nothing. Jesus said you have not because you ask not. And here's Jabez. He's simply praying a simple prayer. When you pray, do you really believe that God will hear and God will answer? You see, here's what happens. We pray and we think, well, don't do much to put God on the spot. Listen, you can't put Almighty Jehovah God on the spot. You can never ask so much, but what the Father, listen, he created this world. He's kept it going for better than 7,000 years, longer than that. Only God knows. Your request and your ability to ask, though you may think it is way out there, it's nothing when compared to the holiness and the mightiness of Almighty God. And here is Jabez. He just opens his heart because he says, God, I want to matter more than what I do. Do you want to? Do you really want to matter more than what you're mattering right now? Or is what you've got in life enough? As Paul went on missionary journey after missionary journey, it wasn't that he was wanting his name remembered, but he wanted to get the gospel out to as many as would. And one of the things that happened in the life of Jabez was this. He began to be afraid because you look at the borders that God began to open and how God began to bless him. and his country. Listen, he must have been blessed in such a mammoth way. The Bible says that his countrymen honored him, and he was scared to death. Why? Because there's always fear that's going to come with the blessings of God. Because God, now listen very carefully. God has not equipped you to handle his blessings apart from him. You see, here's what we say. You know, well Lord, you've blessed me with enough. This is all I can handle. Then you're not going to be able to handle very much as a human being. Now, it's not rocket science, but you know, every one of you who have children, don't you want your children to need you and depend in you and trust in you? Sure you do. Don't you reckon the Father's going to put you in a situation to where you're going to need him and you're going to have to trust him and you're going to have to depend upon him? And you see, sadly, so many people will never pray. So many people will never ask, what does your praying sound like? What does your private praying sound like? Do you pray, Father, bless us? Or would you have to be honest and say, well, be honest, Pastor, I'm not in a position to pray because of my spirit and my life. Now, I want you to think about this. You are going to leave this world someday. Is what you've done in life up to this point, are you wonderfully excited about how much you've made a difference in others' lives? Are you excited about, and are you satisfied? And you see, Jabez, he looked at his situation. And you see, when you pray and God begins to bless your personal life, will he create fear in your life? Will you be scared to death? Absolutely. Let me give you a case in point. Turn over to the Gospel of Mark just a moment. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 6. The Gospel of Mark, and Jesus is getting ready to feed the 5,000. And there's an interesting statement in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, and verse 37. And it's almost comical. You know, the 5,000 have gathered together, and Jesus is there with them, and they're hungry. Has Jesus forgotten to feed them? And the disciples tell them, you know, you need to send them away because they're going to starve to death. They're hungry. But when you look at Mark chapter 6 in verse 37, Jesus hadn't forgotten anything. I want you to look carefully in verse 37. He answered and said unto them, talking to his disciples, say the next five words with me. Give ye them to eat. You understand what's going on? There's 5,000 sitting there, and Jesus turns to the disciples, and he says, you feed them. What would you do? Now, here's exactly what happened. They were in over their head. God intentionally designs it. Listen. God purposely allows it for you to face situations in which you are in over your head. And here's why. Because if you can handle it, what will you do? You will handle it. Can't you just imagine being behind the disciples and listening to them? Imagine Jesus pointing you out, and there's a host of 5,000 people, and Jesus looks at one of you, children of God, and he says, you feed them. Jesus, you got the wrong man for the job. You got the wrong person. Listen, there's a similar parallel. Jabez knew with the blessings of God he was in over his head. The disciples knew that they were in over their head without the help of Jesus. Now listen, that is not a bad thing at all. Because here's what God does. When you're in over your head and you turn to him and you trust him, doesn't he always show up? Sure he does. The Bible says, you know, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. And all your being, acknowledge his ways and he will direct your path. And that's, listen, he's going to put you in situations, and that's exactly what Jabez found. God, I can't handle this. You are not to handle it. Can you imagine for a moment? I think about this. I've had a chance to visit First Baptist Atlanta where Dr. Charles Stanley is pastor, and looking at that entire congregation, how does he handle it? He doesn't handle it. He trusts in the Spirit of the living God. Listen, you and I are saved to do the best we can, right? No. We're not saved to do the best we can. We're saved to trust in the Lord. Amen? Well, why does God put you in situations? So you can learn to trust. I'll never forget the times when Stephanie was little and I'd put her on the bed and she'd want to jump off the bed. And I'd step back like this and I'd say, trust me. And she'd just go like this. In other words, I trust you to a degree, Dad. But I just can't, I love you, Dad, but I don't think you're that fast. Now, I want you to hear me real carefully. I know you love the Father, but oftentimes, we be honest, Lord, I trust you this far. I just don't know if I can trust you this far. Because our lives are proof of it. If you don't ask God to bless you, why not? You say, well, that sounds so selfish. Well, he'll orient you to selfishness, but he wants to bless you so that you can bless him. And listen, you know, when the disciples were in a situation, and matter of fact, David said, what time I'm afraid, I'll trust in you. And there's literally a purpose behind the fear and the blessings. Here comes the blessings of God, and God starts blessing your business. He starts blessing a church that's being faithful and obedient and following him. And all of a sudden, sometimes you think, well, what are we going to do? We're running out of space. Or a business person says, what am I going to do? You know, God is blessing. And a lot of times we stop praying. Well, you know, this is all God wants us to handle. Show me that in the Word of God. You see, here's what we do. We talk to one another. We reach mental conclusions based on one another. God never told you to reach conclusions based on talking to one another. He says, trust in him. Now, whenever Jabez is praying, he realizes he's afraid because he prays this prayer, Lord, keep thine hand upon me. Now, consider this. All throughout the Bible, God has caused people to be scared to death of their dilemma. You imagine Moses for a moment. God's called Moses to go to the most powerful person in the world, and God tells Moses, I'm going to be with you, to deliver them out of the land of Egypt. God tells Joshua, I want you to take over the mantle after Moses has died to lead better than 2 million people. Now, let me ask you a question. Would you have a crisis in your soul if you was in Moses' situation? You are not commissioned to feed 5,000. You're commissioned to lead 2 million people. Would you be petrified and scared to death if God called you to lead 2 million people? You better believe you'd be scared to death. And there is a real serious reason why God causes us, because it's in the fear that there's dependence. I mean, you know, the Bible says, David says, what time I'm afraid, I'll trust you. Have you ever been in those times in your life? And you see, sadly, some of us don't have any idea because you won't even pray this prayer. And you won't have answers to prayer if you don't pray. Listen, you say, well, God will give me whatever he wants me to have. That is so anti-God and anti-scripture. You just need to know that and you need to hear that. Because I've heard it said all throughout my life, well, whatever God wants me to have, he'll just give it from heaven. You will never prove that by the word of God. And when there's a man of God or a woman of God that will get before the face of God and say, Father, bless me, enlarge my coast that I can bless you. You know what God will do? God will open their borders and he'll enlarge their coast. He may place on their heart mission opportunities, mission experiences, or to be a blessing. Whatever the Father wants to do. Whenever the Father opens the doors of a church and they literally desire to be a blessing to the Father, what will God do? Whatever it will be supernatural. And you see, here's the reality in your life, in my life. If you take this prayer seriously, now for those of you that are not going to take this prayer seriously, then you can just hold on for a second. But for those of you that will take this prayer seriously, you get before the face of God, you get on your knees before God, and you're serious with God, you will be amazed, you will be absolutely astonished at how the Father will come to your life and begin to open doors and opportunities to show you afresh, personally, that he wants to answer your prayer. That's one of the things that amazed Jabez. Listen. You can say what you will and do what you will, but one thing that absolutely amazed Jabez was this simple reality. God heard him and God answered him. Bruce Wilkerson tells the story of how God had blessed his life through this one prayer. And he made it used an illustration. He said one of my children was on a slide, and as they were getting ready to slide, he said it was a small, medium, and large slide. And he said, I just stood back and I watched him. He said he went up that small slide and he went down it, went to the medium size, looked up at it, and just a few minutes he went down it. And then he walked over to that huge slide. He looked at it. And as he began to climb up, he got stuck. Too scared to slide down, too scared to walk back. Now listen very carefully. God does not accidentally put you in a situation where you're petrified and you're afraid. Lord, what if you're bored? What if you start blessing me in ways that, you see, here's what we think. Number one, we don't think God wants to bless us. It's sad, but so many people think that all God wants to do is point out sin and judgment and all of this and all of that. And yes, God will point out sin, and yes, there is a judgment. But let me ask you a question. How many of you parents, and don't you raise your hand, but if you raise your hand, I know it'll go. How many of you like to be good to your children? All of us. If you're a halfway loving parent, you want to be good to your children. Listen to what Jesus said. If you then, being evil, know how to give good things to your children, how much more will the Father give good things to those who ask? And he was sharing, his son got caught. And as he got caught, he just looked over to his dad. Now, here's what he did. And here's where some of you are. Help! He couldn't go up. He couldn't come back. He just cried out to his dad. And he said, what did I do? I did nothing else than what a father would do. He said, I climbed up that long ladder. He said, I wrapped my son around my legs. And he said, we went whizzing down that slide. And he said, we had a wonderful time. We went 3 or 4 times. Now, I say that to say this. Don't you believe that God is almighty? I know you do. You believe you have a sovereign, almighty, all-loving, all-caring Heavenly Father. Why do we just ask for crumbs? Why do we stay with the crumbs when everybody, well, that's all I feel like I deserve. Do you realize God in heaven never wants to give you based on what you deserve? Listen, if he gave you what you deserved, every one of us would die apart from Christ and spend an eternity in hell. Amen? If you got what you deserve, listen, the Bible says in Malachi chapter 7, verses 18 through 20, who is a God like you? Who loves to be kind, who loves to show mercy, who pardons the transgressions of the remnant of his heritage. He don't stay angry forever because he delights. God is tickled to death to show you and me mercy and kindness and love. And you see, Jabez realized that as I ask, the Father opens doors. And you see, some of you are praying this prayer and you say, you're scratching your head and you think, I don't understand what's happening. I love Matthew 6, 6. Turn back there for a moment. Matthew 6, 6. I want you to look at it. Matthew 6, 6. Because some of you are praying this prayer and you're praying it behind closed doors and God is doing some things in your life. And listen to what this prayer says. Now your heart must be right with God and oriented to God. Listen to what it says in Matthew 6, 6. But you, it says in the King James, thou, but it simply means you. But you, when you pray, enter into thy closet, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father which is in secret. And your Father which sees in secret shall reward, what's the next word? Thee. Or what does that mean? You and me. He'll reward you in what way? Openly. So are you praying this prayer? And Jabez, he made the connection. I asked God and God brings it to pass. Don't you know that everybody around Jabez heard him talk about, you know what, I've called on God. And somebody said, well, why are you so blessed? I've called on God. I've asked God. Listen, you want a way to do better in business? You call on God. Don't you dare manipulate anything. You be faithful. You work hard. Give a hard day's work for a hard day's pay. But you just pray this prayer. Father, you bless. Bless me. Enlarge my coast. I can't begin to tell you what I have seen happen in life after life that has practiced this. And I can tell you, I watch, and as I pray this prayer and as I pray it on behalf of the church, it is exciting what the Father has been doing. And in the life of Jabez, here's what he did. He prayed. And listen, he asked. And one of the things that happened in his life is he came to understand the goodness of God. And then lastly, Jabez learned this, that my fear and dependence is a reminder that the relationship with God is most important. Now, listen to me very carefully. There are so many people that are oriented to praying for stuff. When you die and stand before the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, that stuff won't really mean a whole lot then, will it? It won't mean a great deal of difference then. But you know what? Think about this. God blesses your life, and as God blesses your life, somebody comes to ask you, what's going on in your life? I look at your life, and you're blessed, and you have an opportunity to orient them to God. You see, Jabez knew and he revered God. He never knew God more intimately and more personally than when the Father came to answer. You see, and here's the sad part about so many who come to church on Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday. They come, and if they were asked this question and were asked to answer it honestly, here's what has the Father done for you lately? You say, well, now I need to do some things for the Father, but listen. Here's the way it really works. I never expected anything out of my daughter until she knew that I loved her. That's simply the way it works. You don't give commands to your children. You let them be oriented to your love. You let them know you love them. You let them know you're there for them. You don't raise them to give them commands. You raise them to love them. And you see, here's what Jabez realized. This God, he loves to be good to me. He loves to be kind to me. And some of you are struggling with that because you've not been oriented to that. I've heard a lot of preaching in my life. And I'll be honest with you, I've heard a lot of preaching, and a lot of it has not been that God wants to guide and bless and direct. It's sin, judgment. And don't misunderstand. Don't you misunderstand. Don't you think that this is a pastor that's not preaching that God, there's not accountability. That's not the truth. But let me ask you this. How many of your children would love to hang around you if all you wanted to point out was what they did wrong? They wouldn't want to hang around very long, would they? But when you realize that the Father just loves you, and some of you are grappling with that, he loves you because that's who he is. He loves you because that's just his nature. You say, Pastor, are you really saying that the Father will bless my life? Put him to the acid test and see. Get alone with God on your knees before him or whatever position that you can be in fairly decent comfort. If you have some problems, the Father knows that. And you see, Jabez would go to his grave, and here's what he would know. And I say this, and I want young people to listen. You have a Father that loves you. You have a God. He's not out to point out, just that's all he's interested in. He's out to love you. He's out to guide you. He's out to protect you. He's out to direct you. And when you have that understanding of the Father, you just want to hang around him. You just want to be around him. You see, wouldn't you hate it if nobody wanted to hang around you? Wouldn't you absolutely grieve yourself to death if no person on the face of the earth wanted to hang around you? And that's exactly what the devil tries to get people to believe about God. He's hard. But you know, when you come to know who he is, he's so wonderful, and he loves to forgive us and give us his best. You'll just want to hang around him. And the Bible says God did what Jabez prayed. Are you not being blessed because you've not even voiced this prayer? Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but we're in the fifth series. And let me ask you this question. Don't you raise your hand. But how many of you have not even tried to pray this prayer one time? I'm just simply telling you, God says, you don't have because you don't ask. There'll be countless people that die without Christ because they didn't ask. The Lord wants to save you right now. All you have to do is ask Him, and He'll give you everlasting life. He'll give you abundant life. He'll give you the very life of His Son. All you have to do is ask. Father, we thank You, and we love You, and we praise You. Father, there's no way to put in human words how much You love us. You said we can't even count in one day's time how much You think of us, and Your thoughts are turned toward us. Father, we thank You that You're the sovereign God, and You remind us that this world is Yours and everything in it. And Father, there may be some who are looking at their life and, why should God give to me? But Lord, the truth is You love us. You love us with an insatiable love. And Father, I pray for that person here this morning that's without Christ, that they would come this morning and invite Jesus Christ into their heart to be their Lord and to be their Savior. I pray they would come. Father, that person who needs to come, and maybe they've been saved and they need to make their confession of faith public, or they need to come and join this fellowship. Father, You remind us in Your word that when there is a single person who will obey You, all Your blessings of heaven will come. And Father, have Your will and Your way in this invitation. In Jesus we pray. Amen.